Hello and welcome to CDH Conversations, our International Women's Day 2026 series, Give to Gain, Women in Law, Leadership and the Future. I'm Aljean Ruiz, Senior Associate in our Pro Bono and Human Rights Practice based in South Africa. As we commemorate International Women's Day taking place on 8 March of this year, in keeping with this year's theme, we're speaking to colleagues across our offices about what it really means to give in the legal profession. This can be time, opportunity, support, visibility, and leadership, and how intentional giving drives progress towards gender equality and creates collective gain. Today, I'm joined by Anna-Marie Krugel, a director in our dispute resolution practice and head of the corporate and white-collar investigation sector based in Johannesburg. I'm also joined by Frida Kishi, director in the employment law and trust and estates practice areas based in our Namibian office. And finally, Lorraine Maingi, an associate in the environmental law and pro bono and human rights practices based in Kenya. Thank you all for being here. It's great to have you. Just to kick off our discussion, when you hear this year's theme, Give to Gain, what does it mean to you in your role and experience? Anna-Marie, perhaps let's start with you.
Thank you and good afternoon to everybody that joined us. Aljean, when I received this invitation to take part, you know, you think about your career and there's quite a lot of incidents that you can talk about if you look at Give to Gain. What I would like to say to you in my role, it is so important that we share experience and share what we can do and what we can also support other people with. That it's important for me to also say to you that I was given the opportunity as an assistant senior prosecutor in the Magistrates Court in Pretoria during the 1980s. The opportunity came when I was serving as a control prosecutor for 26 district courts. The total courts at the time was 52. I had to work with a designated senior prosecutor from the Office of the Attorney General at the time, and I was given the authority to stop prosecutions on behalf of the Attorney General, Advocate Don Brunet. This office is now known as the Director of Public Prosecutions. My direct reporting line at the time was Anton Ackerman. And I was at a very young age given the opportunity to do work that I was trusted with, and it created a personal requirement for me to always give my best and not to disappoint. But it was also important for me to do the same with the people that worked with me and reported to me and to whom I reported as well.
Thank you so much for that, Anna-Marie. What a rich history. Frida, what does Give to Gain mean to you?
Aljean, mine is very brief. When we speak about giving, our minds often turn to material things. But yet in a professional environment, giving is far more meaningful. It is about sharing knowledge, offering guidance, and investing time and experience in the development of other people. I find it so profoundly fulfilling when I find a student of mine who has done their candidacy under me and seeing how they have grown in their career. And I think that is the gain part of it, where you find a profound sense of purpose and fulfillment. You gain legacy, knowing your influence lives on through the professionals you have helped shape. You grow as a leader, strengthening your own skills and deepening your own impact. Ultimately, professional giving is not about loss. It's about multiplying value both in others and in yourself.
Definitely, Frida, I completely agree with that. Lorraine, what does this bring up for you?
Thank you, Aljean. I think for me, when we speak about give to gain, the biggest thing that I take away is the fact that I think professional growth is not individual. I think it's more community-based. I think we are all working towards, you know, a certain goal together. So in my experience, that ideally, that kind of progress would only happen when people are sharing knowledge, opening doors for each other, creating space for each other at the table, by giving time, giving insight, giving other people an opportunity to be heard on your platform. I think all these things strengthen the ecosystem that is around you. And then in that ecosystem, once it's strengthened, everyone gains, including yourself. I think for me, I would say that I have been a bit of a beneficiary with regards to the give to gain momentum. I found myself in situations where I've been given opportunities and I've been given a voice and I've been empowered by the women who went before me.
Thank you so much, Lorien. Just from the conversation we're having now, I'm reminded that giving isn't only about big gestures. Like Lorien says, it's often about the consistent and practical things, such as making space for a colleague's voice in a meeting, or backing them when it matters, or sharing credit properly, and being prepared to open doors, especially for those who've historically been kept outside them. And personally, I think one of the most meaningful forms of giving I've received, it mirrors quite what Anna Marie and Frida said, was being trusted with real responsibility. And for me, it was earlier than I felt ready for. And that was leading parts of a matter, being the point person with clients and partners, and having the space to learn through doing. That kind of trust accelerated my growth in a way no course or feedback session could. And over time, I think these experiences that we're discussing, these are the things that change culture. And that's where the gain becomes collective. And so building on that, I'd like to make this more practical. Can each of you share an example of a time when someone gave you an opportunity, support, or visibility, and how that shaped your career? Let's go Anna Marie, then Frida, and Lorien.
Thank you, Eljean. To share with you at a time when somebody gave me an opportunity is when I was prosecuting still and was obviously reporting to senior people and had a lot of people also reporting to me to make sure that we were working well in the court environment. My direct reporting line at the time gave me the responsibility to decide on certain prosecutions, certain appointments, and to identify the training that we wanted to give to prosecutors as well. And I can tell you that responsibility shaped my career a lot because, number one, they trusted me. And I think it also helped you to make sure that you give the best because you would like to also adhere to those requirements that they set for you. And when you work with other people as well, you see if you do it in the correct way, and like what you alluded to earlier, if you also create opportunities for other people, then you work as a team together. And the people that give you that assistance really, really plays a big, important role, I think, in everybody's career.
I think I refer to the opportunity that was given to me when I joined my previous firm. That was 2015, about 10 years ago. And as I said, I was not the obvious choice, but it appeared that somebody might have found trust in me and have decided to partner up with me. And that gave me a sense of confidence in that somebody trusted me with that journey. When I joined the firm, I joined directly as a director in the firm. I was the only female director around the table, with I think at the time there were 7 male around the table. And I found myself in a situation where I had to really voice up and at some point be a mother for the office as well, speaking from that woman and motherly perspective in terms of representing the staff or bringing staff grievances to the table and so forth. I learned quite a great deal, not only about governance or lack thereof, but how the firm functions. Because previously I was running my own one-man shop, as I normally used to call it, and this firm had over 100 employees. So I really was exposed to governance of quite a huge firm. The experience sharpened my thinking around leadership, structure and accountability. And it was a great journey. As much as I bowed out after 10 years, it was quite a good learning curve for me.
I think for me, the example I would give, I don't think I have one specific example, but it's sort of been the way we've been operating in my current department or in my current role as associate at CDH. My direct supervisor, Clarice, has often given me opportunities to contribute meaningfully in high-level discussions. So every time when I go for meetings or like when the high-level discussions, policy discussions, or like discussions within our field, she's given me the ability to engage substantively and to even draft key inputs, and not only just to draft the inputs, but also to make presentations and have a voice, and not only opinions, but also to give feedback. And in those areas, her confidence in me as a person sort of accelerated my own confidence, in fact, more than anything else, because for her, it was more of, I believe you got this, so do it. And there was no other option but to do it. And that exposure and that support signaled that I belonged in those spaces, gave me a seat, and it also taught me that my voice carries weight. Even just from observing her giving me opportunities and just letting me do the work has improved my leadership skills, because now I understand that, you know, even with your team members, you have to believe in them and you have to give them opportunities.
Thank you so much. I think all the experiences highlighted really land and I think will be useful to any woman out there trying to progress in her career. I think in my experience, the moments that make a real difference are often the ones where someone takes a considered risk on you, putting you forward for a matter or trusting you to lead a difficult conversation even, or simply saying your name in rooms you're not in. That kind of sponsorship doesn't just build skill, and I think everyone has mentioned it, that it builds confidence, which ends up also building your credibility. So let's talk about what giving looks like day to day. Some of the small but meaningful ways people can give support to colleagues across different functions or offices include bringing people in while decisions are being made, for example, so that they understand the process, or giving clear and constructive feedback and creating practical visibility. For example, inviting someone to present or acknowledging their contribution openly. With that in mind, in what ways do you think women can give support to colleagues across different functions or office? Frida, we'll start with you.
Elgin, I always feel that support of colleagues should always be intentional. I practice where whatever I do, I want to be the final reviewer. So in doing so, whether it's drafting, compiling, or putting anything together as a document, I will always start with the most junior person in the room. And I will ask them to just start with a skeleton. I normally call it a skeleton. I will then ask the person next in level to just review it. And then perhaps finally someone more junior, and finally at my table. In that way, you're creating this network where all four people in this office are working on the same document. We support each other by improving. But what was also important to me is by giving the final, whether it's an article or it's a pleading, giving them the final document to see where they went wrong. And in that way, I have realized that you build confidence of even the most junior person in the office to see what amendments or changes were made to their documents and what was the final product and whether much input was required from their sort of skeleton that they have started with. To me, it's also about exposure. As simple as sitting around the table with people and just asking them to contribute. And I think our Kenyan associate have said it so many a times that by being included in conversations, by being given the voice, that build her confidence. And the most important thing about us, obviously, is sometimes the seniors mentoring our juniors, just to give them that confidence and say, yes, you have done well. And obviously, as I said, including them in this conversation. Those small gestures build people, they make them feel valued, and it creates a culture where learning across all levels is quite important for the workplace.
Thank you for that, Frida. Anna-Marie, what are your thoughts?
From my side, I would also like to add on to say that we can have specific women-led initiatives in a professional environment, and I would like to mention a few. I think we should give more emphasis to mentorship programs where we pair experienced women with younger professionals for guidance and support. And the second instance, I think we need to look at networking events. We can organize regular networking events, conferences, or workshops that focus on women's interests and career development. The third instance, what is important for me, is your leadership training. You need to offer training and workshops to help women develop their leadership skills and confidence as well. Then I also would like to say that your women's employee resource groups, and we abbreviate this as ERGs, can also create a platform for women to connect, to share experiences, and to support each other. And lastly, what I have on my list is we need to do community outreach more. We must partner with local organizations to support women and girls in the communities as well.
Lorianne, what do you think?
I think I agree with everything that Anne-Marie and Frida have said. To add on one little thing, because we're talking about some of the small ways that we can give support to colleagues on a daily, for me, I think one of the key ways that you can do that is also through honest and constructive feedback. Thoughtful input that helps somebody to grow, taking time to tell someone, with this piece of work, if it's work related, that is, if with this piece of work, this was okay or this was not okay, and here is where you can push it further, invest into their development. And I think that kind of feedback, when it's given consistently, builds trust and also sharpens performance. Sometimes getting feedback or giving feedback can be a bit uncomfortable, but I think when it's respectfully done and with clarity, it empowers people to improve and to also step into bigger responsibilities with confidence, just knowing that you can do it as well.
Thank you for that, Lorianne. I think you've all pointed to really concrete examples and not one-off gestures on how we can all support one another. And so that brings me to visibility, because it's often where good intentions succeed or fail. How does visibility, or sometimes the lack of it, impact women's growth and confidence in the workplace? Lorianne, can I start with you on this one?
I think visibility is deeply connected to opportunities. So when women's contributions are not seen or credited, I think that can affect progression. And it ultimately also affects internal confidence, which means that you begin to question whether your work is okay, whether it's valued. And when you question yourself, you know, you can't give the absolute best that ideally you'd have given if you did have confidence in yourself. So when women are visible, when their ideas are heard and attributed and amplified, I think it reinforces both capability and belonging, and it also reinforces competence with respect to the specific person.
Frida, what are your thoughts on visibility?
Visibility is sometimes something that I think is quite overlooked in a lot of entities. It's not about seeking praise, but sometimes it's just being recognized or being heard or receiving that credit that you deserve. Remember, I told you that when I joined my previous firm, I was the only female around the table, and I had firsthand experience of a lack thereof, where you will, as a woman, give an input or raise a fact, which is sort of either ignored or overlooked. But then a male colleague comes back with the same proposal or the same discussion, and it received a different type of attention. And that, I can tell you, touches on your confidence, as I think as Lorianne indicated earlier. It chips away your confidence and it makes you question yourself over time. And I must say that the step into the next firm have made me realize that at times we really overlook people with potential. And what I love about this current firm is that your ideas are gauged, your input is valued, and you really realize that you're part of a team that is working towards a common goal. So clearly we should be, as I said, intentional about make people visible, make them feel valued, and obviously taking into account or recognizing or at least appreciating everybody's input. But I think the culture on the other side was quite different. It was masculine, male dominated. And yeah, I went through a lot of that.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Frida. Anne-Marie, what do you think?
I think a comment from my side that I would like to make is women must be seen and take part in activities at work. People will miss you in the first meeting that you might not attend, but later on they will continue with meetings without you if you don't make an effort from your side as well. And I think Frida just touched on the fact that we need to also create opportunities and initiatives that can be women-led, in mentorship initiatives, I would like to mention perhaps what I think is we must pair mentors with mentees based on interests and goals. Match women with mentors who can offer guidance. I strongly believe, and I think you pick it up in mentorship, I think it's very important to do regular check-ins and to encourage people to regularly meet and discuss progress and challenges. There should be workshops and training. And I go back to the visibility. We must offer sessions on topics like leadership, communication, and again, I mentioned it earlier, career development. I also believe there must be peer support groups, a space for mentees to connect with each other and also to share experiences. And lastly, I think something that is sometimes left behind is the celebration of successes. We must recognize and celebrate the achievements of mentees and mentors.
Thank you, Anna Maria. I think that was really some solid, concrete ideas that we can put forward. I mean, I'll add, I agree with Frida that visibility isn't about performative recognition. Like everyone has mentioned, it's about ensuring women's work is seen and valued and linked to progression. Because when visibility is inconsistent, it affects more than morale. It affects who gets trusted, who gets staffed, and oftentimes who gets promoted. So let's stay with progression and talk about the structures that support it. What role has mentorship or sponsorship played in your journey? Anna Marie, you've mentioned mentorship and the importance thereof quite a bit. So we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on this?
Mentorship gave me the opportunity to observe and to make better decisions in my own career. We do have the habit of observing other people's success or successes, but when involved in mentorship, what is important, then you can discuss those things. You can be guided with matters that you might have identified as problematic or a concern. In other words, what I say, it can play a very positive role in our environment that we must appreciate, because the mentors that comes to the table comes with experience, and it's also to come to that table with the attitude of support.
Lorien, you've also mentioned that mentorship has been a big part in how you've developed as an associate in CDH. Is there another significant milestone that it has played in your journey?
In my role as an associate, mentorship has really provided a lot of guidance and perspective in my career journey. It's helped me navigate complex decisions because I've had the opportunity to watch some of my seniors navigate complex decisions. It gives you an edge because you get lessons, not because you're going through the specific thing, but because you've watched someone else handle that particular decision or matter or client. And so having that opportunity to see someone who's more senior than you handle it gives you insights on how to navigate such situations in the future. And also, mentorship has helped me in that having somebody to advocate for you in rooms that you're not yet in and stake their credibility on your potential, because I think that is what mentors and sponsors do. They stake their credibility on your potential and they believe in you, and that helps to accelerate your career growth.
Thank you very much, Lorien. Frida, as someone who has experienced a difficult environment previously and who is now trying to create a culture where people are visible, can you talk about what role mentorship has played in your journey to where you are now?
Between 2007 and 2014, I was running my own practice for 5 years before I joined my previous firm. And this was about 700 kilometers away from the city of Windhoek, which we call at Oshakati, the northern part of the country. At the time, there were not a lot of firms. I think if we were a lot, it was between 4 and 5 firms. I did not plan to set up a firm. I went there to set up with a partnership, and then it did not work out, and I had to sort of swim in the deep waters. But what was very difficult for me at that time was there was nobody to mentor. I had to sort of find the way myself in terms of running a business. That is the systems that I had to run, the accounting part of the business, because it was a sole trader. I think that experience of mine made me realize that especially for women in the legal fraternity, there were really not much of mentorship offered. And I have made myself a mentor for all the young practitioners that came after me. Most of them that have practices in the north of the country now, which is Shakati, went through my office. Even those that were not part of my office, if they experienced difficulties, I would, on an individual basis, sit with them and mentor them from my own experience. I can obviously just guide them on what I went through. And I must say that as much as legal practitioners see each other as competitors outside, I've actually got a lot of friends outside our own practice because of the relationship that I hold with my colleagues. So what Anna Maria said is quite important. And these are obviously things that must be taken up with the Law Society. I know with us, we've got the one times per year, the woman conference, where you network and still certain topics are raised. But I think there should be some more intentional coaching and mentorship of women in the fraternity.
Thank you so much, Frida. I often think of mentorship as guidance, helping someone sharpen their judgment or building their skills and navigating the profession with honesty and perspective. Sponsorship, however, is advocacy, someone using their credibility, like Lorien mentioned, to open doors for you, such as putting your name forward for a matter or a speaking slot or even a leadership role and backing you in rooms that you're not in. And in my opinion, we need both, because mentorship helps you grow, but sponsorship is often what turns that growth into real opportunity and progression. So if we know what works, the question becomes, how do we do it more intentionally? How can leaders and colleagues be more intentional about creating opportunities for women to thrive? Frida, let's start with you, and then we can go on to Anna Marie, and then Lorien.
Thriving does not just happen by fault or by chance. It happens when inclusion becomes a clear goal and not an afterthought. When opportunities are created, and Lorien has said it so much before, when she was given the opportunity to sit around the table, that sharpened her skill. So leaders should be intentional, as Marianne have indicated, that we must hold, we must do and create and train in order to create that mentorship and allow our people to thrive. So as I said, it should be intentional. Women should be given that opportunity to put them up there at the forefront and allow them to thrive. And in that way, obviously, more and more women in practice are given that confidence, are boosted and placed on the map, if I have to put it that bluntly.
I'm of the opinion, Algene, that we must start with this at home, in our own environments. And I agree with what Frida also commented now, but would like to also add on to say that I think we must ask ourselves, what do we do? I would like to say to you that I'm committed to ensuring that women are included in all aspects of work, including engagements and discussions. And I think that is what Frida took us through, what she was doing with the more inexperienced people. I am of the opinion that it is a mistake to focus solely on senior people when considering participation in professional settings. Regardless of designations and job titles, women should be provided with equal opportunities to take part in conversations and decision-making processes. I am also of the opinion, by actively encouraging inclusion, we create an environment where women feel empowered to contribute. The more we foster inclusion, the greater the participation from women across all levels.
I absolutely agree with what Anna Marie and Frida have said, respects to starting from our own environments and inclusion and making sure that everybody has a seat on the table. I think the one thing that I might add would be with regards to just having very clear advancement paths and very clear inclusive policies that support the women in our spaces.
Thank you so much for that, everyone. I want to bring the conversation back to a personal level again. What is one thing you personally try to give to others in your professional environment? Lorien, can we start with you?
So I think for me, how I'm thinking about it in this specific instance is that in my department, we have like an open door policy. So Clarice is always saying, call me anytime. Ask anything that you want to ask, reach out, consult, right? So now being a beneficiary of that direct line of ask and give me your opinion, let me know what you're thinking, how do you want to address this? Having that, I have no choice but to reflect that to all the other members of my team and I suppose all the other members that I work with in the firm. So that means whenever a colleague needs advice or guidance on a matter that I have worked on before and I know the ropes, then I'm more than willing to assist them to handle that matter and to walk with them through the process. That also looks like reviewing a draft that they've done, giving feedback, offering constructive input on the draft. Giving that time and guidance, I would say, is something that I personally try to give in that professional environment. But then again, it's something that I have benefited from, so it's flowing down. So I think that brings out, I think, our entire conversation here about giving to gain.
Thank you, Lorraine. Frida, what are your thoughts?
I think I can only offer from my own journey. As I said, I have been trying to give guidance to other people around me, and that I could only do from my own lessons and from my own mistakes. So I try to share openly, especially for younger professionals, just to know that growth takes time, setbacks are not failures, and that integrity will always carry you further than shortcuts. What I always say is it takes years to build a career, but it takes a minute to also destroy that career. So sometimes people just need that little bit of encouragement. They just need that little bit of guidance. They also just need some reassurance at time. So what I normally would give is just that, let's go have a coffee. Let's talk. And yes, are you able to come by the office and sit down and just, you know, have that 5 or 10 minutes talk? And that's what I really offer in a professional environment for my colleagues and everybody outside our office.
Thank you so much, Frida. And Anna-Marie, what is one thing you personally try to give?
One thing that I personally do is I share and I create opportunities. I strongly believe in transparency, that it's very important for me to know the abilities of my team members so that I can assist to develop those. So I am one of those people that believe when you sit around a table, then you are team members. You're not seniors and juniors. You sit as a team together to make informed decisions and have discussions. I want to share with you a very good example of something that happened in the past in a previous firm where we started to market a whistleblower solution. It was an electronic platform that we provided to our clients. And I actually trained one of the young ladies to communicate with our clients. By doing that, obviously, she was well trained to look at the legislation applicable. But she was also given the opportunity to work with the solution herself. And she sat with me to get training on how to deal with clients. And I can tell you, within a period of 2 or 3 months, I could say to her, you attend to the client meetings. And it was a lovely situation because she was then, obviously, you know how we consider, how important we consider whistleblowers. And in my environment, that is a corporate investigative environment, she was able then to see the value of giving the solution to clients so that we can encourage people to come forward to give us information about wrongdoing or irregularities in the workplace. So I'm coming back to the answer you, Elgene, by saying the best thing is to sit around the table and work as one.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Anna-Marie. We are having a fantastic conversation, but it has to come to an end. And so I'll ask my closing question. If you could encourage colleagues or listeners to take one action that truly reflects give to gain, what would it be? Anna-Marie, we'll start with you.
I strive to foster a supportive environment where everybody feels empowered to contribute and to grow. And that is what I would like to see other people are doing as well.
An inclusive environment where everybody is seen, everybody is heard, and has a voice.
I think it would be encourage colleagues to take action. For me, it would be actively create one opportunity for someone else this month. Invite them to a discussion, credit them for something positive they have done, give them feedback on something they could do better, recommend them for matters, for different activities, advocate for them in rooms that they're not in. That would be my closing remark. Just actively create one opportunity for someone else in this month. It doesn't have to be something big.
And with that challenge set by Lorien, I want to thank our guests so much, Anna Marie, Frida, and Lorien, for sharing your insights and experiences so generously. Thank you to our listeners for joining this International Women's Day 2026 episode of CDH Conversations. We hope today's discussion has sparked practical ways to give through time, visibility, sponsorship, and leadership so that more women can grow, stay, and lead. Happy International Women's Day.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.